Drama on News Talk.
Now on Documentary and Drama on News Talk, Sight Nor Sound theatre producer Alan Meaney brings you a comedy of pretense and playfulness. A warning that language is featured in this drama. This is Passengers.
I once missed a flight. Missing that flight was all down to the person I ended up sitting next to in the waiting lounge. I had been bumped up to first class after the airline cocked up my booking, and the upgrade included the use of a plush lounge, soft seats, table service, a la carte menus, and panoramic views of jumbo jets reaching for the skies. I was travelling on a backpacker's budget. Little did I know it was going to turn into quite the departure. The waiter had just set down a cool glass of beer in front of me, and a moment later, I heard her ask a question.
Excuse me, young man, what is that that you're drinking?
Are you talking to me?
Yes. Your drink, what is it?
It's a beer. I think it's Belgian.
Oh, I hear they make good beer in Belgium.
Would you like a sip?
Oh, yes, please.
She looked familiar to me. It was early morning. I was a little groggy. I watched her reach over, take the glass from my outstretched hand and take a decent sip. And there, just as she held the glass away from her lips, it came to me who she was. I couldn't believe it. One of stage and screen's greatest ever actresses, asking for a sip of my beer.
Oh my, that is good beer. I'm going to order one. Will you have another?
Well...
Waiter, excuse me, waiter. Could you bring us two more of these Belgian beers, please?
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
There's no need to thank me. You can get the next one.
You're still talking to me?
Yes. Is that okay?
No. I mean, yeah. Of course it's okay.
I'm relieved to hear it.
She was wearing the largest pair of sunglasses I had ever seen. A thin lick of lip gloss, Levi's, and a light blue-coloured t-shirt with a cartoon juggler and a caption below the juggler's feet that said, "Don't mind me, I'm only a tosser." She had gladiator sandals on her feet. An open packet of tissues rested on her knees. I was overcome by a sort of stage fright, I suppose you could call it. She had been a beauty in her day. What am I saying? She still was. And now, here she was, sitting right beside me, ordering a round of beers.
So tell me, where are you going?
I'm not sure, actually.
Me neither. It's good to be unsure once in a while, isn't it?
It is.
When I was little, I used to play a tune on the piano for my grandmother. Home Sweet Home, it was called. She loved it. Then I scarpered. Is that what you're doing? Scarpering? Leaving the roost? Venturing out into the big world?
I suppose I am. I know that tune you mentioned.
Do you play the piano?
For a year or two, when I was little.
There you go. We have something in common. Oh, good. Here come our drinks.
I had seen all her films. The early ones in particular. The ones from the 1960s. I'd watched over and over again. I think I'd even cried during one or two of them. And though she hadn't worked so much in recent years, I thought many of the overreaching newcomers could learn from her. She offered herself, mind, body and soul to the roles she played. And every time I saw her on screen, it seemed to me she was peeling away another layer of herself, as though each of her performances represented part of an ongoing search for some all-defining quality. In 1973, at the age of 31, at the peak of her fame and popularity, she had, without warning, walked away from the screen, leaving in her wake legions of distraught fans and mystified critics. Until her recent comeback, nobody in the movie world had heard from her for more than 40 years.
Don't these look great? I'm so glad I spotted you. Otherwise, I would never have thought of having a beer. Now then, what are we drinking to?
What about chance encounters?
To chance encounters. I like that. Yes, I like it very much. My soul. Oh, that is so good. So tell me, why did you stop?
What's that?
The piano. Why did you stop playing?
Oh, the piano. I didn't get along so well with my teacher. I was lazy. Didn't practice enough. I suppose it wasn't for me. Do you still play?
Me? With these hands? Oh, no. These days I prefer to listen.
Listening's good.
I think so.
Do you really not know where you're going?
Oh, don't mind me. I just wanted to agree with you. You seem so uncertain. I thought you could do with some moral support.
Oh, so then you do know where you're going?
I'm afraid I do.
I was still struggling to put a coherent sentence together. There was little doubting I was in awe of this iconic presence beside me. I was enamoured, infatuated, and probably already a little bit in love. But whether it was the effects of that Belgian beer or a reaction to that comment she made about my being uncertain, something connected to the folly and impetuosity of youth, perhaps. Or maybe I was just wanted to impress this screen icon with the progress of my own non-eventful life. Whatever it was, when I did find it within myself to begin to speak properly, I found myself suddenly making the most outrageous claims on behalf of my younger self, as though I had no longer any control of what was going to come out of my mouth.
What exciting thing, may I ask, are you up to?
Me? I'm a musician.
Really? Are you in a band?
Yes, I am.
That's great. What instrument do you play? Wait, let me guess. The keyboard?
Not the keyboard, no.
Bass guitar?
Not bass guitar either.
Don't tell me you're the drummer, because... And please forgive the observation, you do not have the arms for drumming.
I am the front man.
The front man.
That's right, I'm the lyricist and lead singer.
Well now, that's impressive.
Though I'll probably get a solo career going before too long.
I see.
I'll give it a couple of albums with the band, then we'll see.
What is the name of your band?
We have two names.
Really? How wonderful.
On a good day, we're Cannibal Hamster.
I like that.
Right now, we're Autocorrect.
I like that too.
You and about 10,000 adoring fans.
Would I know your music? Have you released anything?
We have a nice minimalist there but not there kind of vibe going on. Our debut album came out last month.
Does that have two names too?
No, just the one.
Which is?
Glucose for a lethargic bee.
Glucose for a lethargic bee?
It wasn't my choice, but two of the band members are vegans and they insisted.
Well, I like it very much. Putting a record together is an accomplishment and it deserves a toast all of its own. So then, to Cannibal Hamster and Autocorrect.
Hear, hear. I had no idea where this stuff was coming from. It was like I had suddenly become a character in a strange movie where everyone is liable to say anything, do anything, and nothing is quite as it seems. Maybe it was the beer. Maybe it was all a dream.
Is something the matter?
It's just that, I mean, I can't believe I'm sitting next to... You know, the screen goddess, a movie icon.
Ah, I see. You think I'm...
I don't think I know you are.
I'm afraid I'm not.
You're not?
Sorry.
But you're a dead ringer for her. In every possible way. It is you, I know it is.
Happens to me all the time.
What? So you're just a normal person? A normal person who just happens to be the mirror image of the finest actress who has ever lived?
My word. To hear you put it like that almost makes me wish I really was her.
I feel like a complete moron.
Don't beat yourself up. As I say, happens all the time. Now, come on. My flight leaves in less than an hour, and I'm so glad you've introduced me to this beer. Tell me more about this band of yours. Where are the rest of them?
I didn't have the heart to tell her I had fabricated a rock star lifestyle just so as I could impress the movie icon I thought I was sitting with. Besides, already I was kind of liking the idea of becoming a famous rock star. In a roundabout way, it also made up for her not being the famous actress I thought she was. And if the warp and woof of my rock and roll lifestyle was something this famous lookalike wanted to hear about, I, for one, was not about to disappoint. After all, why shatter the spell so soon after casting it? Actually, that's where I'm headed. I'm joining them for the European leg of our world tour.
So young, and you're already touring. That's wonderful.
So far, so good, yes.
You should be very proud.
You made my life a mystery. Our first single. Entered at number 4 in the UK charts. Jules Holland has invited us to play on his show. And Glucose for a Lethargic Bee has already broken into the top 10 in 7 countries. Apparently, we're huge in Slovenia and Switzerland.
My goodness.
Our manager reckons it's only a matter of time before we crack America, and once that happens, well, there'll be no stopping us.
My. It sounds like you have an exciting adventure ahead of you. Well, just make sure you keep your feet on the ground.
That, I can assure you, is one thing that will not be happening.
You youngsters, you're absolutely right, of course. Completely ignore what I've just said. My word, this beer is good. Oh, flip, not again.
What's the matter? Is something wrong?
That man over there.
You mean Mr. Pen and Notebook in the baseball cap? Yes, I did notice him. He's glanced this way a couple of times. Probably a journo from one of the music magazines. Rolling Stone, NME, Billboard, you know. After a scoop. An exclusive.
Please, don't even look at him.
Why not? Do you know him? Jesus, he is staring at us. He's not your husband, I hope. He's not going to beat me up, is he?
He might do worse.
What?
I have to tell you something now. Promise you will not react.
How can I promise that?
Promise me, otherwise I'm going to get up and walk away.
Oh, okay. I promise.
That man, Mr. Pen and Notebook, as you call him, thinks I'm the world-famous actress you thought I was. He follows me everywhere, has been for quite some time. I think he works for a gutter press. In fact, I know he does. He's probably making up some lurid nonsense as we speak.
What? I don't understand. Why don't you just tell him who you really are?
Believe me, I've tried. And quite often, too.
And
he looks at me and says I've heard that one before.
Well, you can hardly blame him. I mean, the resemblance is uncanny.
He has been the bane of my life for longer than I care to remember. Oh, bartender, could we have 2 more, please? Thank you so much.
All of a sudden, I was feeling strangely protective. I could see she was deeply troubled by the presence of this hack writer, and I was gripped with an urge to do something about it. What that something was, I couldn't yet say, but I had a suspicion I wouldn't have long to wait before the semblance of an idea would present itself. Oh, look. Mr. Pen and Notebook is pretending to read War and Peace.
Bet he hasn't gotten halfway through page 1. 3 years and counting. That's how long he's been tailing me. The snake.
And here he is, hot on your tail, after a scoop.
Vermin!
Why don't you report him? We could do it right now.
Try that too. Doesn't make any difference. You should see him put on his I-know-nothing face.
I wish there was something I could do.
Maybe there is.
Anything. Tell me, please. I'll do it.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. I want you to go over to that hack writer and fill his head with just about the craziest story you can think of.
What?
You heard me. I want you to give him a crazy story about me.
Suppose he doesn't believe me?
He will, because you are going to make up something impossible for him to ignore, something outrageous. In fact, make it the worst thing you can think of. Tell him I'm losing my mind. No, wait. Tell him I've just escaped from the halfway house I've been trying out in. No! Say my husband has left me after discovering my affair with a leader of organised crime.
Okay, maybe we should let off a couple of screams at each other. That way, when I approach him, he'll already be interested in what I have to say.
Good thinking. You asshole! You great pile of steaming git scum! Who do you think you are talking to me like that? Who? Is he looking over?
Oh, yes, he most certainly is.
Okay, your turn. Let her roar at me. Really let me have it now. The worst thing you can think of.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't? Come on, tell me I'm a bitch and a trollop.
I can't scream at you. You're my favourite lookalike actress. I think I could come to worship the ground you walk on.
Oh, for God's sake. Look, just close your eyes and visualise someone who's let you down. Now come on, yell at me. Scream as though I've let you down like no other. Do it, now.
That's it. I've had it. I can't take any more. Do you realise what you're doing? You're breaking my heart.
Hey, that's pretty good. There's a career in acting waiting for you if you ever quit the music.
Is he looking? Did he fall for it?
Oh, yes. This could be great if he goes for it. Just think, when your story shows up in whatever gutter press prints it, we will be the only two who will know what is really going on.
Okay, wait here. And so I stood out of my soft seat, steeled myself for what it was I had been tasked with doing, and then approached the man in the baseball cap. With my glass of beer, I motioned to the empty chair beside him. He set down The War and Peace he had been pretending to read and gave me a confidential nod. And I sat down next to him and did precisely what I had been instructed to do.
Well, how did you get on?
Pretty well, I think.
What did you tell him? Something terrible, I hope.
Oh, yes. What I had to say got a reaction.
Well, what are you waiting for? What did you say?
I told him you have a new man in your life. A much younger man.
You did not.
Did too. I told him it was love at first sight. One glance at each other was all it took.
Oh, that is so good. Who is it? Who's my young lover?
Who do you think? Me?
You? Goodness. Do you think he fell for it?
I think so. At first he told me to take a hike. You know, said I was way too young to be your lover. So I told him I was older than I looked. Told him what I do, gave him some stuff about the band, about certain hotel rooms we've trashed. I even fed him a few lines as to what you and me like to get up to in hotel rooms. And he started to get really interested. A moment or two later, Mr. Pen and Notebook was scribbling furiously.
Oh, that's wonderful. You deserve an Oscar and another beer. Oh, waiter. Excuse me, waiter.
She called her round of beers and I picked up my glass and drained what was left. It was strong beer. By now I had three or four and could feel its effects. I looked to my companion. She had finished her beer as well, but it didn't seem to be affecting her in any noticeable way. I watched the waiter set up another round. There are worse ways to pass time waiting for a flight, I thought to myself, and offered my pretend paramour my best smile.
Why, thank you, my good man. Now, what are we drinking to?
It's your turn to say.
Okay. to the Gutter Press.
And Mismatched Lovers. Oh, God. Oh, excuse me.
You're listening to Passengers on Documentary and Drama on News Talk. This is Passengers, a comedy drama on Documentary and Drama on News Talk.
Good morning, passengers.
Do you know much about her? You look alike, Emmy.
At this stage, I know plenty, yes. Actually, I'm quite a fan of her movies. At least I was, until the harassment started.
I'm glad she returned to the screen.
Well, I suppose it gets her out of the house.
The critics have said some nice things about her last one.
Those guys. You don't happen to moonlight as a killer for hire, by any chance?
I gave that up in my previous life.
Ha! No time for it anymore, I suppose. Rock star.
Never say never. Plus, there's always my next life.
How many have you got?
I'm not sure. I stopped counting some time back.
Lend me one sometime, will you? How have Cannibal Hamster or Autocorrect fared with the critics, if that's okay to ask?
Oh, ask away. Good, by and large. It's early days, obviously, and I will admit that there have been one or two observations I don't particularly care for.
Oh?
Repetitive, depressing, and pompous. There's one for you I'm having trouble forgetting. Trying desperately to be whimsical. That's another one that doesn't sound particularly favourable. I don't even know what whimsical means.
I dare say the critics don't know themselves.
Serves me right for trawling forums in the middle of the night. Not fully achieved. That's another one I can't quite get my head around. Like, what is it we're trying to achieve? That's what I'd like to know.
If you knew the answer to that question, you wouldn't need to do it in the first place.
That's a good way of putting it.
Besides, the best stuff should always fall short.
You think?
That's what will keep you coming back, to make another record. And another.
Yeah, I think I see what you mean.
Down with the critics.
I'm going to thrash one of them at our next press conference.
Amen to that.
Amen. We smiled at each other, and for a few moments I was happy to sit there and bask in her presence and the aura of possibility that had taken over my situation. I was even happy to imagine that it really was the famous star beside me, oozing all that talent and legacy. I recalled looking up her lookalike on IMDb one night, not so long ago, after sitting up to watch one of her films. It was the little things I remembered the most. Trivia. When she was 9 years old, she made a will bequeathing all her beauty to her younger sister, because her sister had none of her own. At age 14, she had almost died from eating wild mushrooms. She collected paperweights and had once used one to discourage an overzealous photographer. She had two stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She had never married. I took a long drink of beer, basking inside at how relaxed I was feeling. I was long over my initial diffidence. The beer was smooth and strong. I could feel it circling steadily inside my head. There are 20 discussion forums on the internet devoted to her.
I'd have thought it was more.
There's also a website that lists all the men who claim to have been in love with her.
I wonder, did any of them ever say it to her face?
Another site says the dress she wore in the 1965 Oscars party was auctioned to the highest bidder for $500,000.
I know about this dress. Her mother hated it, said she looked like a Jezebel in it. I loved the film. It's my favourite of hers. The night it premiered must have been the happiest and saddest of her life. She was 23 years old. Where did she go from here? I remember asking myself.
To the Oscars! To accept her award. Only, she didn't accept it, did she?
No. No, she didn't.
That film was my favourite too. I've seen it 10 or 15 times. She was wonderful in it. My first girlfriend, broke up with me because I stayed at home to watch it rather than go to a U2 concert with her.
Oh, could you not have seen it at another time? And with your girlfriend?
I prefer to watch films by myself.
I see. You know a lot about this actress.
So do you. Did you know Richard Harris and Oliver Reed had a duel over her?
Where do you get this stuff?
The internet.
The internet. There should be a law against that thing.
Oh, that's funny. She was a beauty back then. Well, I mean, she still is.
Listen to you.
She never married, you know. Men were going insane over her all the time.
Ha, you're funny.
The ideal marriage is between a blind wife and a deaf husband. That's something she said.
Out of curiosity, is there anything about her you don't know?
You tell me.
Oh, look. Your friend is back.
Who?
The hack who thinks we're lovers.
I don't think the real you, I mean, your lookalike, will be too happy when she sees the story, whatever version gets printed.
I'm sure she has a very efficient lawyer.
If she has, you better pray she doesn't find out you enjoy peddling stories to the gutter press.
Something tells me she has better ways to pass her time.
I wonder, does she know someone like you exists in the world?
I won't say anything if you don't.
Don't worry, now that I am an accomplice, your secret is safe with me.
That's the spirit. Now you'd better go over to the hack. He is not so subtly trying to catch your attention. Go on, over you go. Give him the next installment of our illicit tryst.
And so, like the dutiful errand boy I was fast becoming, I made my way across the plush lounge, flicking an index finger off my nose as a way of giving the hack writer a deft signal that I was ready and willing with more skinny for his rag. I even feigned a degree of reluctance, and this had the unspoken effect of convincing the hack that I had something potent to reveal, something that would really give him a headline, something that he may even be willing to offer hard cash for. I don't want to make a penny off her, I said, dismissing his crude offer. Then I gave him the goods.
You were gone for ages. For a minute there, I thought you weren't coming back.
Let's just say he is very keen to hear about you.
Well, what are you waiting for? What did you tell him this time?
I mentioned your behaviour, how erratic you've become, how you've gotten it inside your head that you are no longer the world-renowned actress everybody loves and admires. You're convinced you no longer have any talent. That's what drove you into seclusion all those years ago. I've tried to talk sense into you, but you won't listen to me. You think I'm deluded. I think I'm not. We are currently at an impasse.
Oh, that is so good. You're really good at this, aren't you? And I think you're enjoying yourself.
I wonder, does she regret not accepting the Oscar?
The Oscar! Award ceremonies, gongs, trophies. What would we do without them?
Is it so bad to want to win a prize?
Suppose that depends on the prize. So, where is the first stop on your tour?
Well, let's just say me and the rest of the band haven't exactly been seeing eye to eye of late. That's why I'm not travelling with them. We've had a bit of a blow up.
What? So early in your career? Surely not.
I needed to put some distance between myself and a certain band member or two for the time being.
Oh, I get it. You've had a falling out with the lead guitar, one of the vegans. And let me guess again, artistic differences. Happens all the time, you know.
For starters, it's the drummer, not the lead guitar. And for seconds, it's not what you so kindly refer to as artistic differences.
Oh, now I am intrigued. Go on then, do tell.
Her name is Susie, the drummer. We've been having a fling. More than a fling, or so I thought. That is, until she declared to me, in no uncertain terms, her preference for fingers.
Oh, and don't tell me fingers is the lead guitar.
No, fingers is on bass. Michelle is lead guitar. At least she was until Susie crowned her with a Stratocaster.
Why on earth did Susie do that?
Because on the morning after our London gig, Susie discovered Michelle in my bed.
I see. Sounds like a very complicated way to begin your first tour.
As it stands, none of us are talking to each other.
The rock and roll lifestyle. A flip-flop shoe of an existence. You might even get a song out of it.
Actually, I've gotten two songs out of it. Tonight We Will Die Laughing, and You Stabbed Me in the Back and Claimed It Was Self-Defense.
Interesting titles.
I remember reading a story about her. She ran away. She was only 12. She ran so fast. Had no idea where she was going. Didn't care. She got so lost and so tired, she ended up inside a movie theatre. And up there on the screen, she saw Garbo for the first time. And for the next hour or so, she was entranced.
You make it sound so romantic.
They're not my words. More's the pity.
Let me guess.
The internet.
Well, the internet got one little detail wrong.
Oh?
She was 11, not 12.
Good story, though.
Yes, maybe. That sounds to me like a version of a person that no longer exists.
I wish that would happen to me.
But it has happened to you. You're on your way. You have an exciting career ahead of you.
I suppose I'm just feeling a little lost at the moment. Uncertain, to borrow your word. Maybe it's the weight of expectation. I suppose I'd like a sign, you know? It doesn't even have to be something amazing, just a small sign to point me in the right direction.
Don't get too hung up on finding the right direction. Just go. Offer yourself to the world. Be uncertain. Revel in the mistakes you're going to make. It's in the crashes that you find the way, not in perfect pirouettes. As for this sign or epiphany you're looking for, I think I know the very thing.
You do?
Yes. Waiter, more beer, please.
And make it snappy.
Would passenger running tracking on flight EL223 to Paris Charles de Gaulle please make yourself known to a customer service rep? Passenger running traveling to Paris Charles.
Is that your flight?
I wasn't listening. Is it yours?
I doubt it. Mr. Pen and Notebook doesn't think so either. Are you sure it isn't yours?
No way. I'm sticking with you.
Don't do it. You'll be sorry.
You know something? I don't believe I would be sorry. Not for a second.
Think of all the stalking. Think of all the hoax calls. Think of the number of times I'm stopped to the street and asked the same question over and over again.
Think of how useful I could be to you. Think of all the good answers I would have for all the pests. I think I've already proven my credentials.
Yes, you've been very useful. I will grant you that.
And while I'm at it, hang on a minute, I've got something else for the hack writer. Something that will really get him scribbling like there is no tomorrow. And so I approached the gutter press hack. He was waiting for me too, his pen and pad poised for the juicy morsels I was about to give him. And give them to him I did.
This is a flight announcement for remaining passengers traveling to Paris, Charles de Gaulle. Please have your boarding pass ready for inspection and your passport.
Oh, look at his face.
I gave him an exclusive.
He actually looks like he's going to faint.
I told him that inside my pocket I have a ring and that I am about to pop a certain question.
Oh.
I told him I'll probably never get another chance to ask, that I have no idea what you're going to say, but I am prepared to take the risk.
Good Lord, what did he say?
Oh, of course he thought I was leading him up the garden path, started banging on again about my age and then your age, I'm too young and you're too old. But don't worry, I wasn't long softening his cough. We're in love, I said to him. We have no interest in young or old. We don't care about numbers, I said to him.
Well, don't stop there. What else did you say?
You know that film from 1973? The last one your lookalike made before she vanished for so many years?
Yes.
Right now, that's how she looks to me. That's how she'll always look to me. Then he had the gall to ask, could he take a pic when I proposed? I was all set to tell him what he could do with that idea. Then something occurred to me. Of course you can take a pic, I said, on one condition. After today,
You leave her be. You never come near her again.
I really don't believe I'm hearing this.
Then I told him, once he gets his pick, he has 5 minutes to pack up his pen and pad and clear the hell out of here. And guess what? He agreed.
He did not.
I have to say, it all felt pretty good. All I have to do now is get down on bended knee and propose to you. For what it's worth, because I know we're just pretending here, I want to let you know that, lookalike or not, if you ever did want me to marry you, the answer is yes. But I must warn you, I don't sleep. And if you want me to sign a prenup, that's fine.
Are you not a little young for me?
Just think 1973.
Were you even born in 1973?
No, but I'm trying to catch up.
Anyway, we can't marry.
Why not?
Because you've a career to get going.
Oh, never mind that. Can't the two of us just elope together? Forever.
And is there not a certain drummer you need to speak to? Not to mention a lead guitarist. How can I possibly compete with all of that?
Never mind them either. All they do is pull each other's hair and complain about hotel bathrooms.
Well then, you better fish out that ring.
With pleasure.
However, will you indulge me one slight amendment to the plan?
She whispered in my ear what she had in mind. And before I knew it, there she was, on bended knee before me, presenting me with a ring she had magicked out of somewhere and asked me in no uncertain terms, would I do her the honour of being her eternal soulmate? I took her hand in my own and looked over just in time to see the hack get his pick. Then I looked back at my betrothed, who offered me a smile and a wink. Yes, I will, I said, as a tear ran down my cheek. There is one thing I don't know about her.
Oh, and what's that?
Why she walked away from it all. You know, in her prime.
When she first started out, it was so easy. Getting up on stage, doing her thing in front of a camera. So easy. It was everything else that was difficult. Real world. And so performing became a way into the world for her. Helped her through the days of her life. Perhaps she thought all those wonderful parts were part of some magical journey she was on. And for a while, maybe it was magical. Until one morning she woke up, looked in her mirror, had no idea who she was looking at. She realized she was losing herself, disappearing. Maybe she began to feel trapped all over again.
Like when she was a little girl?
That's right.
But she was at the height of her fame. Could she not have just taken a break even for a year or two?
Maybe there was a little more to it.
Do you know? Tell me, please.
What does it say on the internet?
Oh, it depends on which forum you go on. One says she'd had enough, like you've been saying. One says she was pushed away. One says she had a breakdown.
Ah, the famous breakdown. The truth is, she walked away for the oldest reason there is.
What's that?
She fell in love.
I knew it! Who was it? Wait, let me guess. Warren Beatty.
No.
Al Pacino.
No. She fell in love with... She was a makeup artist. She had the most beautiful hands. Her neck curved like a swan's. The relationship didn't last. She wasn't healthy. She died young. So young. And for a long time, our world-famous actress... thought she was dead too. And when she did begin to feel alive again, she hardly recognized the person she'd been.
That's not on the internet.
At last. Something that crazy invention doesn't know. Oh, good. Here are our drinks. Oh, that beer is so good.
How many have we had?
I don't know. But I can tell you now, in one word, what it tastes like.
Let's have it.
More! So, what may I ask is the present situation with the band?
Oh, I don't know. Is it worth it, I'm asking myself?
Is what worth it?
All of it?
Can you be a little more specific?
I really like her.
Susie, the drummer.
I've ruined things between us.
Do you really believe that?
She doesn't know I betrayed her.
I thought you said Susie crowned Michelle with a Stratocaster.
And then I proceeded to lie to Susie by saying that nothing happened with Michelle. That was very convincing.
And now you think running away is the best thing.
I haven't the courage to tell her. I can't stand the thought of upsetting her.
It won't be easy to hear.
So I shouldn't tell her. I just get on my flight, keep going.
I don't think I quite said all that.
Oh, God.
Tell me something. Having to tell her, what's the worst part about it?
The worst part? I suppose it's knowing that I betrayed her.
And that's something you'll always know. But if you don't tell her, if you don't let her see how sorry you are, you'll never know if she's willing to forgive you.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just hard.
You know, you're a young man. You still have your life to live, the chance to be whatever it is you want to be. Try not to be hard on yourself. If you're sorry and if she loves you, she'll forgive you.
I just wish I could have that stupid night back. Stupid few minutes even.
It's not too late. It never is. Does she have any idea where you might be?
No.
You do know she's going to be worried about you.
I suppose.
So let her know what you're at. Tell her everything. Promise me you'll do it.
I promise.
And when you do contact her, make a phone call, arrange to meet, and stay away from that ridiculous internet.
Actually, you can make calls on the internet.
I don't care. Do it properly.
It's been good talking to you.
It's been so wonderful. In fact, it's so wonderful. You know what it calls for?
Let me guess. Hey! As we waited for our next round of drinks, she looked away from me as though lost in some faraway moment. She had set her sunglasses down. I could see the yellowing, fraught skin, the age lines, the entire map of her face. And it was then I knew. And she knew I knew. She was no longer the ordinary person I had been sharing a plush waiting lounge and several beers with. She had been faking it, just like I had. And it was then that I saw how life and the ravages of time and everything else had done its work on her. Suddenly I felt a different energy around us. Then there's someone hovering over us, and I heard a voice as ominous as anything I'd heard in my short life to that point or since.
It's time.
Oh, look. My favourite bodyguard. What do you mean it's time? I have a beer to drink. Sit down and have one with me and my new friend.
This is the final boarding call for passengers O'Brien and McCarthy, flight UA289 to Chicago O'Hare.
Ma'am, it's time.
Oh, you're such a spoilsport. Okay.
There's something I have to tell you.
Oh, yes?
That stuff about being in a band and me being the lead singer and...
Yes?
I made it up.
except for the part about betraying the girl. That part's real. I wanted to impress you.
Oh, is that all?
What do you mean? Is that all? I lied to you. I deceived you.
Don't go drowning yourself in a saucer of milk on my account. From the moment I clapped eyes on you, I knew you were no rock star. It was fun, though, wasn't it? The illusion?
Delusion, more like.
Become what you pretend to be, and then it's no longer an aspiration.
Easier said than done.
Yes, but it is in the attempt that you will discover who you are, and that might just be enough. Now look here. If there's one thing I cannot stand, it's a pithy goodbye. I want a hug.
She smiled at me then, leaned across to me, and I inhaled the aroma of perfume that emanated from her. I wished we could have stayed that way. Goodbye. Then she was walking away from me. I had missed my flight. It didn't matter. I stood there like that until I became dizzy. And when I lowered my head and looked around me again, everybody was gone.
Passengers was written by Alan McMonagall. It was directed by Sight Nor Sound Theatre and produced, recorded and edited by Alan Meaney. The cast were Rose Henderson and John Ruddy. The programme was funded by Commission Naman with the television licence fee. For more, see newstalk.com.